Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, let's see what's happening this week. Tuesday, May 21, 2019. It is the 86th episode of Horsepower, Chrome,
wow,
and
86.
Rust. I feel old now.
Brady. Is there an 86 station? No, that's 76.
I've been 86 from places, but
yes.
I don't know that the show is necessarily that. But
oh boy.
So it's Brady Wright, Shane Osborne on a break today. Steve is the producer, Johan, ready to bring you the best automotive podcast in the known world. We know that is true because we say it every week. We still have a few openings for segment sponsors, too. It's a great opportunity to reach over a million listeners every week. And every time we open a segment, your business gets put right in front of an audience on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, iTunes, and Facebook. You know that iHeart is doing commercials for their most popular podcasts?
No, I think I have heard some of that.
Yeah.
And they also put on concerts and everything.
Yeah.
Because they're all part of Cumulus, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
They used Cumulus Bottom.
Well, listen to the iHeart commercials.
Yeah.
We're on there. We are one of their most popular podcasts. It's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so let us work for you. Just imagine. Imagine a million people hearing me say, Back to the Blacktop is brought to you by your business right there. Our email is contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can message us on Facebook or you can throw a pigeon at us one way or the other. Let's see what's going on in the automotive world today. Steve has all kinds of cool stuff as per usual. What you got?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple downers right now. Yeah,
no.
Downers.
Never start with a downer. Always start.
It's like those movie things.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then the suspense. Hills. So Daimler AG, new head cheese, calling for lowering wages for top management. Actually, this is a good idea.
Lowering wages for management?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a move to slash the company's administrative costs by 20% as a way to reduce overhead as the car maker faces uncertainty in the marketplace.
This is actually smart.
Stating billions of dollars will be potentially saved. And I'm like, okay, what I like about it, they're not going after the laborers.
They're not cutting the labor force, the management, the administrative.
Which
they're
quite
not taking
frankly,
the coffee machine out of the break room.
In most cases, does need to be trimmed.
Well, look at this. If your company is not doing well, who is ultimately responsible for that? Management, the C-suite.
That's right.
So if those guys have a little motivation, like, hey, you remember that bonus you were going to get?
That's right.
Let's talk about fixing the company. That's real strong motivation.
Very.
That's good
stuff. Because the line workers don't have that choice. They're locked into their line.
Show up, Bob. And by the way, we're taking away half your tools.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
you and Sally share over there.
Hold everything.
Oh, productivity is really going to go up now.
Can I borrow my screwdriver back?
Speaking of tools and productivity, I know a number of stories about that from my buddies.
Yeah,
we won't go down that
route. No, let's not. That's a long road.
Oh, it is. Ford Motor Company will begin to notify 500 white-collar workers in its North American operations that their jobs are being eliminated as part of a broader cutback that will see 7,000 salaried positions eliminated worldwide, including 1,500 former employees who voluntarily separated from the company in 2018. So that means they're down to, 5,500 left to go. Again, the salary, meaning the upper management, the engineers, some of them. So they're everything I'm seeing, Brady, is everybody is saying the writing's on the wall. The sales of cars overall in every demographic, every market is slowed down, and they do not see a huge uptick anytime soon. And I think, sometimes they preempt these things, trim the fat and get things a little tighter ship. So it is what
it is good to see that some of the people who run these companies and some of the direction that the companies are going to go or are going needs to be held to the fire.
Oh, God, everybody's going to autonomous and electric.
Well,
really? I think you got to go.
And whether they are or not, you can't coast. I mean, it's a terrible analogy.
No, you can't.
But you can't coast. You can't just assume that it's going to be the same because it isn't. People are changing what they want out of cars. And I saw a thing on Facebook just the other day that just cracked me up. It was a meme, but it was very funny. It was like 18 white full-sized crossover vehicles, okay? All different manufacturers.
Yep.
And it's a side shot, and it's all in one, like a poster.
So they removed all the emblems.
Yeah, it just put them up there.
So you couldn't tell who's made what.
Well, they all look the same.
And I've been saying that for 20
years.
Yeah,
it's like, no wonder your sales are flat. They're not inspiring anymore.
I have said that literally for 15 years. If you took the badges off and painted them black or white or red and lined them up, you would not be able to tell who's who.
Well, it's tough because the styling cues, they say, oh, well, you know, aerodynamically.
The design center in L.A. is kind of part of it. They all come out of there.
They're all going to have to have, you know, low drag coefficient and all that.
Right.
So we need these curves in order to make that. You know what? You don't.
That's why. Now, let's face it. That is why the Challenger, Charger, Mustang, and Camaro are doing so well is because they look unique. You know what they are. They stand out from everybody else.
Sure.
And you go, well, I wonder what the heck. No, you know exactly what it is.
Well, and aerodynamics is not new.
No.
You can go back to the 30s and see the Delahays and the Talbot Lagos and the other things.
Right.
You know, the coachwork, that's been around for a long time. You can do that and still look beautiful, you know. But it may be, you know what, maybe it's just a curve. It's a bell curve. They've hit the bottom of exciting, and now they're going to maybe build it back up to something.
Yeah, kind of like
that'd
what they did
nice.
With all the minivans. Everybody started looking the same.
Thank you for reminding me of the 80s.
But, of course, you know, you saw the same thing in the 60s and 70s with station wagons. Everybody's station wagons kind of started looking alike.
Although with station wagons, it's tough because you got a body style there that's meant for a particular
thing. That's the same thing with the SUVs.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And speaking of a global, as global emissions and mileage regulations continue to tighten, a number of companies are removing the V8 from their powertrain offering.
Chumps.
Hyundai Motor Group is the latest to state that it will abandon its 5.0-liter Tahoe V8. Currently offered in its Genesis G80 platform. They're going to replace it with something else, probably, you know, a turbocharged.
It'll be a turbo six.
It'll be a six. But this is the way things are going. And then for those who do not know, Honda, the automaker, also builds some very cool commuter jets.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And they were doing so well on the good news front that they're breaking ground on a new 82,000-square-foot facility in Greensboro, North Carolina, kind of the headquarters of where they built these. And, you know, I remember seeing this a number of years ago when I used to do the motorcycle show, and I looked at it and went, these are pretty little jets.
Yeah, they are.
And they get really good fuel mileage.
Yep.
And apparently they're doing really good. I mean, if you're Bill Gates and can afford these things, they're doing really well.
Well, Gates has got a G5 probably, but you know, the Hondas are actually accessible.
Yes, they are.
Know, in that price
in that realm.
Point. Yeah, I mean they're pretty nice little performers.
Maybe
not
Tony Anthony or Anthony Robbins or one of him, you know, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
An autonomous front on
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And he has his car shipped to wherever he's going.
This is a convertible.
Yeah.
It's a convertible jet. He can only fly
he's got a Firebird
under 5,000 feet because
his hair is
going to slow
it right.
That's why half of his beard is white.
That's right. On the autonomous front, we have the following brief news. U.S. Postal Service starting Tuesday is partnering with the autonomous truck company TU Simple, on a 2-week pilot project that will automate trips between distribution hubs in Dallas and Phoenix. Three of Two Simple's big rigs will make 5 round trips over 2 weeks, hauling trailers filled with mail and examining the potential of automated hauling mainly along Interstate 10, a linchpin of freight movement in the United States.
Yep.
A 2-person crew will man each one of these vehicles, adhere to the hours of service limits during the project, switching drivers at various points during the 22-hour journey, but the trucks will complete the 1,065-mile journey without such reprieve. So in other words, they'll drive 8 miles, they'll get out, then the next guys will get in, and they'll keep going. And this is to see how well it do. So they're doing a test run. They've got people in it, so they know that if something goes wrong. But here it is. Here it is, folks.
This story was on the network news tonight. I was watching it just before I came down here.
Wow, really?
Well, I figured you'd probably talk about it. But it's like, okay, obviously, the technology is there, and sooner or later, we'll probably be doing this. It still makes me nervous that they're going to be on the road with other people, and I know that there's going to be human beings in the cab, but the goal, ultimately, is to have these drones out there doing it on their own, and that's a 40,000-pound machine.
I know.
That there's just a potential for error.
I think you need a real one in there, but the backup safety.
I mean, maybe I'm a Luddite. Maybe it's just like I don't believe in the technology.
Well, unfortunately, we have jackknives about once a month here. So maybe that'll
take care of it. Hey, glad you're with us. We got more coming up. I got a recap of the Monsters in Manson Rat Rod show from Jeff Conwell and a whole bunch of other cool build stuff on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been.
Well, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with Windshield View.
Woo-hoo.
And this week, we have a field interview with Monsters in Manson Rat Rod Show with Jeff Conwell, the promoter. And take her away there, Brady.
Hey, it's Brady. We're here at Manson for the Monsters in Manson Show, fourth year. And I've got Jeff Conwell, one of the organizers, a guy who's been instrumental in this show since day one. What kind of a day are we looking for?
You know, first of all, we got sunshine. And I'd say we're
always
winning.
Always a win.
Yeah. Always a win, yeah. Yeah, the cars are starting to roll in. The rat rods looking good. We've got probably we're at about 27 to 30 some cars. I'm hoping for probably at least double that today. That would be a great goal to get to for us out here in Manson. But it's just going to be a great day of fun for the guys and gals that are out here. Once again, we've got awesome t-shirts.
The t-shirts look good. Let me see the back of the shirt. I'm going to hold this up to the microphone so you can see. It's really an excellent looking
exactly.
Shirt. Yeah, we'll put pictures of these up for sure.
Yeah, it's
now. Really, and by the way, since this is going to actually air after the show, because we're recording this on Saturday. Are there going to be extra shirts left over? Are you going to be able to sell somebody one online?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be able to do that. In fact, we've got some from last year's show here today, which you could probably also, if we don't sell them all today, we'll have them up online as well. But
there you go.
Every year, you know, we work with this graphic designer, and he puts together really cool designs for us. We want them to be collectible, you know, memorabilia of the show that people can take and just have a nice keepsake of this event. So, but, you know, to give you a little bit of background on this, Brady, it's important for folks to know that the whole purpose behind this is to help young people pursue careers in the auto repair industry. And so it all goes for a scholarship program that we work at with Manson High School. In fact, the first place trophy it's really cool. It's made by the welding class up at Manson High School.
Yeah, I just took a picture of it. We're going to have that online so people can see it. It's really nice looking trophy.
Well, you know, it's really helping these guys pull out some creativity and use their imagination. And, you know, they see what was done the year before. And so they push each other from year to year and try to outdo each other. And that makes it kind of fun for everybody.
Not a garage anywhere in Manson with leftover parts in the bin. They've all raided that to make these trophies. Yeah. Really nice looking trophies.
Yeah, it's great. So that's going to be our first place. We've got to, you know, I hate to say everyone gets a trophy, but we like to appreciate everybody for coming out. So we've got all sorts of sponsorship trophies, and really like to take an opportunity to thank some of our sponsors, if I could, Brady.
Because,
you know, Coca-Cola, you know, they jumped on board with us. We've got Mountain View Lodge. Wine Girl Wines, thanks for hosting a great night last night.
They had a great turnout last night. There was probably 10 or 12 cars.
Oh,
that came in early, and a lot of guys had a great time up there last night.
Yeah, Todd and Angela do a great job. They built a little bonfire. I think they actually closed the place down about 11:30 last night. So.
I think we closed them down about 11:30, pretty much.
So good times up there. But, yeah, also want to thank all of the community downtown here for allowing us to close off the street and have everybody come down and enjoy the show.
It's going to be a super show, too. I mean, I got here a little earlier. We went and had breakfast this morning with some of the guys, and the street was just barely blocked off by the time we got here. And now there's got to be 30 cars. I mean, there's three blocks worth of cars right now.
Yeah, it's great. It's really creative stuff this year. I mean, we're seeing some cars that we haven't seen in years past. So it's always fun to see new guys and gals come out to the show. And so it's going to be a fun day ahead for sure.
You know, the fun thing about the whole Rat Rod community is it's a little different from the Hot Rod guys. Mm-hmm. In that the Rat guys are never actually finished with their cars.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation just this morning at breakfast about how, you know, you can have a car. Maybe you've seen the car before, but you haven't seen what's been done with it in the last 6 months. They're always changing them and always doing something different. And even you can look at the same car two or three times over the course of a summer, and you'll see something you didn't see.
Yeah, that's the fun of Rat Rods. And, you know, some people go, well, it's not a classic car. You go, exactly.
Yes.
That's the point.
That is the point.
and the creativity is what I think people really get a kick out of. It's people are very creative with what they put on their cars. And like you say, it's fun to see what they do from year to year because it's always changing. It's always a work in process. And I got a kick out of it. We were standing up there watching a guy. He was wiping down his car with WD-40.
Yes.
And, it's like you
that
just
is
don't.
The preferred medium.
The preferred clear coat, you know. So works really well and makes those rat rods look awesome.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them are held together by WD-40,
right.
Baling wire and duct tape. You know, it's fun. I mean, we do make fun of them because they're really sort of cobby looking in a lot of ways. But the machinery and the actual engineering involved is pretty intense because you don't take a chassis from one car and an engine from another car and a rear end from another car and a body from something else and put them together without a lot of fabrication.
Yeah.
A lot of creativity goes into these things.
Well, the mashup. I mean, the mashup that these guys come up with, the combinations are off the hook, and that's the fun part of it. So
one of the regular builders, the Ratship Crazy guys, are here today, and he had actually two vehicles that he was going to bring.
Yeah,
he's all set to bring them, and both of them independently broke. And it's like, I can fix them, but I can't fix them in 2 hours. You know,
right.
So he's actually here in his Dodge pickup, and he's not happy about it.
There's always that. You know,
But
they could bring it down here and work on it during the show. That would be fun for people to see too.
You better be careful what you ask for, because there's going to be lifts on the street.
Yeah, it could be here for a while. So, no, it's a great day here in Manson, and we're truly grateful for everybody who makes the trip over, because you know, we're a kind of a destination trip. People have to be intentional about coming over here, so we're grateful that people take the time to come over and share their wares.
Well, it's going to be a terrific show, there's no doubt. And Jeff, I want to thank you for hosting the thing and getting this thing off the ground. I mean, 4 years ago this was a dream, and it's really become one of the big shows in the region and one of the big shows on the circuit throughout the summer.
Well, thank you, and thank you to, you know, Horsepower, Rust, and Chrome, because you guys, you know, have been big supporters of us, and it's just been terrific to get direction from you guys on, you know, how to reach out to people. And you know, we know that you guys have a terrific listenership, and we really thank you for your support.
Well, we appreciate it, and it's great to be here. We're at the Monsters and Manson Show in Manson, Washington. The sun is with us, and the rats are out. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Oh, we never left Vehicle City.
No, we haven't.
We are back with the second half of the Windshield View. And while I was in Manson, I got a chance to talk with Sean Barter and Kevin Martin. These guys are the brains behind the Rat Rod 600 Road Rally. Now, this is a super fun builders event. Here's what they had to say. So we're live in Manson, Washington, talking about the upcoming Rat Rod 600, which is a really, really cool event. Last year, it was the Rat Rod 500, and literally, these guys are taking cars and building them to take this 600-mile tour through a bunch of different states. I've got Kevin Martin and Sean. Kevin, tell me a little bit about how this thing got started.
Well, the Rat Rod 500 started last year as something different and an alternative to car shows. It was an opportunity to drive our cars. We build them. They're cars. We should be driving them, not sitting in a parking lot staring at them. And then after doing the 500, it was a one-off deal. And it took on a life of its own, and they wouldn't let us not do it again. So, but we had to, in our style, we had to one-up ourselves. So yes. How do we one-up ourselves? Well, let's add 100 miles.
So now the thing is all over Facebook. There's actually a Rat Rod 600 Facebook page, right? A Facebook group. And Sean Waite's the other half of this. You got the Prineville piece, right?
I run the Prineville piece, so we're bringing everybody's coming out of Spokane for the first leg of the run. That's going to take up several hundred miles. And then I run the 200-mile poker run through some of the curviest, nastiest roads Central Oregon can provide. We've got some killer stops on the way between breweries. There's just road after road. What do we've got? We've got old school towns, ghost town style stops, gas stops along the way. Always a gas stop, super curvy, just fun, and that promoted this year's. Everybody loved the road. They loved the environment, the people, the fun, the open-armedness that small town American can give you.
So now you guys are both involved in Ratchet Crazy, but it's not just a club event, right? I mean, anybody can join?
Anybody. So the biggest thing we've been promoting this year is run what you brung. We promote anything, you know, survivor cars, hot rod cars. The biggest thing we've been saying out there these days is soccer mom cars. Bring that on the poker run. Bring that follow around. We love soccer moms.
Okay, so now what's a soccer mom car? Come on.
Soccer mom car is any car. Any car the mom's going to drive. If it's got a motor and a wheel and it can keep up, it's welcome, and that's the biggest thing that I think Rat Shit Crazy promotes, is just drive it. Drive whatever you love, and it's all about driving it.
So if I had my – is there a year it's got to be earlier than, or is it just pretty much any
no,
ride?
It's an anything. It's an anything. Come meet a bunch of friends. We're getting ready to take on a new event, a new animal that might have those, that's going to have those restrictions. But as far as what we do for the 600, it's Rat Rodders promoting and inviting anybody that's into it.
Now I'm gonna do a little bit of a spoiler. The event that Sean was talking about is the Rat Rod Build Off. We're gonna do a separate show about that one, so stay tuned for that one. But Kevin, so how did this thing get started originally? What was the onus that started the whole idea of the run?
Actually, it was just down the road here in Wenatchee. We were sitting at a car show, bored off our minds, sitting behind our cars in our little lawn chairs, like apparently a stereotypical way to be at a car show. and it got very old very quickly. We literally formed Ratship Crazy right there, right then, and decided we would be about driving events. And that's pretty much how it started.
Well, you know, last year, this is being recorded at the Monsters and Manson show, the Rat Rod show, which we're going to talk about a little bit later as well. And this show's been going on for 5 years. Jeff Conwell and the folks at the Manson Chamber put this show together as something that's dedicated to the Rat Rod community, as opposed to, you know, custom-built cars and shiny cars. Rat Rods are all about the build. It's all about, you know, run what you brung and drive it regardless of what it looks like. And I remember sitting here last year talking to some of the guys from the Ratchet Crazy. I have one of the original hoodies. In fact, it was really helpful on the way back over the pass because Ron Foreman's car has no roof. So it came in real handy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of amazing to watch a group kind of come together from an organic standpoint. And all of a sudden, you guys are really hot on Facebook. Now, you got a Facebook page.
We do. It's RSC Rat Rods and More, or RSC Rat Rods and More group page. We prefer the group page because we can back and forth converse more than you can on the other page.
Right, and all your events and stuff, plus the club stuff, are on that page.
Right.
And so people obviously are all over. I mean, Kevin, you're from the east side.
Right.
Sean, you're in Oregon.
In Oregon. I'm in Central Oregon, you know, small town American. Kevin, the way Kevin runs the Facebook page is phenomenal. You can get on there. You can see he'll post on. We're going to drive to an event. We're going to drive to any event all over the Northwest. And anybody can jump on board and just peel in with us because we're fairly announced. We're open book. You can peel in. You can just have fun with us, and just come and say hey.
So let's get down to the nuts and bolts. What's the date of the 600 this year, and where are you going to go?
We're going to start. At least our leg will start June 13th in Spokane at a kickoff party. We're going to do a parking lot party hosted with the Miss Shifters in Spokane. Then June 14th, 7 a.m., we will leave Spokane and start the first leg and the first day. And we've got a few stops and a few sponsors heading up into Prineville that evening.
Okay. And that's not. And is there a registration fee for this?
This is 100% free event. Find me another one.
So except for what it costs you to build the car, it's 100% free, except that you got to buy a car.
Right.
That's cool. So that starts in Spokane. Where does it go from there?
We're going to head by way of Tri-Cities through Hermiston to John Day. We've got a nice sponsor down there, 1188 Brewing, is going to put us up for lunch. Then we're headed to Prineville that evening for a parking lot party. The next day we'll be doing Sean's 200-mile poker run. And then Sunday, a very large caravan back to our area.
Cool. So tell me about the poker run.
The poker run kind of became its own animal. You know, a lot of hot rodders, a lot of bikers, a lot of anybody in Central Oregon. Not many of them are going to come up to Spokane. I will be. A couple friends of mine will be. Of course, everybody's welcome to. But it took on its own event, and then that envelops the locals, the local hot rodders, the local bike crew. They can jump on it. We do the poker run. And that's about the only time it's really going to cost you money. You can get a poker hand. You can get a T-shirt. You can just run the poker run and not buy a thing. It wouldn't cost you a dime.
Sure.
We support the Band of Brothers, a local Band of Brothers. So half the proceeds of the poker run are going to go to the local chapter, Band of Brothers. They help out veterans. And they've got many things that they go with. But look them up as far as Band of Brothers and Nationwide. They're just huge. So that's where the money comes into it, if there was some that you'd have to worry about. But other than that, just come and enjoy parking lot parties all over Central Oregon.
People are about parking lot parties. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. So real quick, what's the general geographic area that people are part of the group from? I mean, we got Spokane, we got Prineville. What's the farthest away member?
Brazil.
Perfect. So they're going to be driving up for this, right? That's not a 600.
What's our confirmed? Nebraska?
Nebraska, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Arizona, and California is our farthest that I can think of.
Super. Well, Kevin Martin, Sean Wade, you guys are just doing an excellent job. This is going to be a tremendous event, and we're going to follow it. RSC
Rat Rods and More.
RSC Rat Rods and More on Facebook. Also, stick with this because, you know, Horsepower Chrome and Rust is going to cover this thing as it goes along. Guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was cool. We also had a chance to get the lowdown on a brand new Builders Challenge, and this one is open to everyone. check out this build.
Hey, we're in Manson, Washington with a bunch of guys from the Ratship Crazy Car Club and some other disparate individuals, all of whom have decided that they are going to build a fully operational rat rod for under $4,000 and drive it 1,000 miles. You may say, wouldn't the heck would want to do something like that and why? Well, I got Kevin Martin here, who is one of the guys in the original kind of challenge thing, and he's going to explain it. Kevin?
Well, what I did is this started with a buddy of mine that builds over-the-top, killer fabricated items, a little bit on the shiny side for my liking. And I challenged him.
Is this the guy that wants door art, numbers, chrome, and stuff?
Striping, maybe a Mickey Mouse theme. I'm not sure where he's headed with it. But I was having a conversation with his wife, and I said, you know, there is no way that Sean's OCD is going to let him build a nasty, ratty rat rod. And she agreed. And I had a conversation with him. And he called me a week later and said, what are you telling my wife these kind of things?
So you were talking to the boss first.
I was talking to the boss first, yep. And so he called me, and I told him, and I didn't cut any punches with it. And he accepted my challenge. And then it grew into an old school. They used to do this thing for a $3,000. So we thought we'd do a $4,000 build-off pre-war car.
Okay.
Original patina, the way you
so
find it in a
pre-war
field.
Means what years?
1940 and earlier. Pre-41.
Okay.
And then we got to drive this thing 1,000 miles. And that is part of the challenge. You do not win this challenge if you don't build it under the $4,000 and drive it 1,000 miles.
That's the best. So obviously you got Sean Barter involved. Who else is playing?
Well, we've got Sean Barter. We've got Chance Eberle is going to do this. Rat Rod Richardson. Phil Pexolani. Brian Northcutt, that's our core group, pretty much, the Rat Shit Crazy group, but it has taken on a life of its own, and I'm getting calls from all over the country at this time, and they want to be part of this, and we haven't even put it out there yet, and they want to be part of it.
Fully internet public. We've thrown a little bit, Kevin's thrown a little bit on the Rat Shit Crazy page about pre-war, under $4,000, and then people started coming in, Reagan's in, just taking off on it. So now that every time we meet up, it's giving each other a hard time about where did you get that part? How did you get that part? How much did that really cost you? So it's really taken on a life of its own, and only friends can call you out as bad as everybody is.
So this is one of those, how much did you pay for it, or how much did you tell your wife you paid for it?
What did you trade for it? What was your trade value? That counts.
Got it.
Your car value, the motor.
The firm of Do You Cheat Them and How will be doing a full audit of...
So we got several guys here who are also taking part in the build. I'm just going to kind of walk around the group here and see who's who. What's your name and what are you going to build?
Oh, my name's Chance. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to build yet. It really depends what I pull out of the back of my backyard, my house.
Perfect.
Pretty much whatever I can.
Out of his ass.
Yep, if I can pull it out of freaking pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. So, but we know it's going to be able to drive 1,000 miles, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to my mom when I'm done so she can take it back and forth to work.
Okay, well, that's important. If you're going to make a gift out of it, it at least has to have seats and a roof, I imagine.
And a coffee cup holder.
It's definitely got to have a coffee cup holder for sure. And probably a cooler somewhere along
that's
the lines.
That's great.
We just went over budget.
One of our sort of regular contributors and appearance people on the podcast is Rat Rod Richardson. He's here, and he's the one of the only guys who's here from Ratship Crazy who has not brought a car this particular show.
By the way, his new name is Rutro Richardson.
What broke now?
Yeah, you had a couple of cars you're going to bring. What happened?
Oh, good Lord. I got this bus I built. I'm just calling her the dirty broken bitch, and she's always broke on me. She's broke every show. She don't want to go to shows. I've come to that conclusion. Every show I go to, she's broke. Well, here, lo and behold, it's a new build, a big build, a heavy bus. So with that being said, she's kind of back on the fix-it table. My 40 Ford air compressor went out.
Yep.
And my Cadillac, the swap's not done yet. So I'm pretty much... three cars down, so I got a lot of work to do when I get home.
And we let him hang out with us anyway.
It's nice of you. Yes, he's the charity case for the club.
I'm the basket case for this trip.
Well, it's nice that you get involved in the $4,000 build because you can build one that actually runs 1,000 miles.
Oh, yeah. I've actually had better luck building the $4,000 cars than I have building the $20,000 cars.
Well, there you go. It's a mission.
Not it's easy. So I'm not sure. I've got a body. I'm kind of leaning towards... something pretty unique, something with a Harley Davidson engine. I'm going to see if it'll work. I'm not sure it'll work.
we're going to try
it. Well, it's a Harley, so it'll spit oil. But other
than
that,
I'm good with that. It means it got oil in it. Oil comes out. There's oil in it. So it's going to be something really small, probably. But that's where I'm leaning right now. It could change between now and then.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Well, Phil Pexile is here as well. Phil's one of my rat bastards brothers. You going to build something for this thing, too?
Absolutely.
Tell me about it.
Not positive yet. Going between a 31 sedan and a bucket right now that I might pick up from Sean.
Okay.
So definitely want to involve the kids. And I want to show these older cats how to do it without creature comforts like air conditioning and all that.
Ooh, he's throwing down. Not throwing down now. Okay, that's great. No creature comforts for you. This is the guy whose exhaust pipes are taller than the roof of his truck. So I guess you can understand where that's coming from. Thanks, Phil. So what are you going to put together?
I have no idea yet.
Perfect.
We're going to wait another year, finish a build, and then find something to build for this challenge and get her done.
So
he just found out what a welder was.
Okay, so there's a learning curve we're working on here. Is that?
And it's not the guy holding the wand.
It's the actual tool. Yeah. And do they have those at Harbor Freight? Or
I don't know. So we're here.
Have you seen his weld? You know what I'm
talking about. Hey, my car's here.
There we are. Ooh. So back to Kevin for a second. So what's the date of this thing? When are you going to have this thing finished? What's the
we're going to do it in a year's time, and we have actually expanded it to 2 years time. It'll culminate in July of 2021 in Red Lodge, Montana.
Okay.
They've invited us over to their show and to kind of have our build off culminate there. And so it's we think the timeline's great, the budget's great. It's going to give us every weekend between now and 2 years to do this to each other. It's we may have never build a car, and we might just keep giving each other crap. So
this is a podcast of its own right here. Just this.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna have we got a little bit of criteria, very little. It's pre-war, it's original patina, and it's $4,000. That's it. No, just original. However you find it. We no door signs, no gimmicks, no pinstriping. We're keeping it old.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. So if somebody's hearing this and they're thinking, yeah, it might be kind of a fun thing to do, where do they go? How do they get hooked up with you guys? What's the contact?
I will create an event tab on Facebook next week. This weekend was the hash it out, figure this thing out, and we will create an event tab. This is open nationwide. This will be open to everyone. Here's one thing we forgot. We're going to do a $100 entry, winner takes all.
Oh, okay.
The goal is to have 40 cars, and your build will be free. And we're kind of throwing around right now, and this may or may not happen. If we get a $4,000 prize, the winner will donate his car to charity, and we'll auction it off.
Oh, that's even better. Nice. Yeah. Well, obviously there's some development still happening here, and this is going to be a grow-as-it-goes kind of project. Happy to say Horsepower Chrome and Rust in on the beginning of this thing. We're definitely going to follow this, so as you guys get farther along, send us pictures, send us stuff. We'll be talking with you again as the time goes by. This, one more time, starts when, goes when, where
starts
do they go?
Right now through July of 2021. I don't have the exact date of that event. I believe it's the third week in August 2021, so 2 years and 2 months.
Cool. Well, Kevin, Sean, Greg, Phil, the rest of you guys, thanks so much, Chance. I really appreciate you guys stopping by and talking about the Rat Rod Challenge. It's going to be hot, and you'll hear more of it here on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
And as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
If your motor is clean, why does it spit gasoline? I always wondered about that line. It just, you know, kind of gets to me. Hey, this is Cars Confidential, and sometimes we call this story time. Today, I'm not sure what we're going to call it, but I got a terrific story. This is actually good. I thought maybe this was a story from Montana, but it's not. The story is by Gary Hughes, and it's called The Sheepmobile. Hence the, I thought maybe, never mind. I was born and raised in Montana, and early in my adulthood, I transplanted to Seattle, Washington for employment. Finding out where I was from, the workplace bullies were always making derogatory comments about Montana. I can't tell you how many times I heard the phrase, Montana, ha ha, where the men are men and sheep are nervous, ar. So I'm fairly glib, I have a pretty thick skin, so I usually got the best of our childish bantering, and eventually I gained their respect. And even though I am from Montana, at the time I hardly ever seen a sheep, and I can't remember ever seeing a nervous one. I think I was the only coincidence that I met, and I married a wonderful woman who was raised on a Midwestern sheep ranch. Her parents were very successful in their business ventures. And my father-in-law was internationally known, having lectured and taught at many agricultural universities and colleges. So in the early 1980s, my father-in-law had finished with his life. My mother-in-law had passed some years before him, and since my wife Colette was the oldest sibling, we traveled to southwestern Minnesota to help liquidate the properties and distribute the assets. The process was challenging, but three siblings eventually agreed on the distribution. Most of the assets, the equipment, and farm animals were sold to cooperative neighbors, and the balance of the property was distributed to the heirs. And because of my status of car guy, our stash included their prized Mercedes automobile and a U-Haul trailer load of other treasured junk. The Mercedes was a wonderful automobile. One of the things really unique about it was the vanity license plate with one word, sheep. I could hardly wait to get this car home and park it in the company lot. What fun this would make for bantering with the workplace bullies. There was one other item that we could not leave behind. It was a baby Angora billy goat that was the last remaining farm animal. He was
born. My father-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, my wife's grandfather raised Angora goats. Yep.
Well, he was born with a deformity, a slight deformity, and was appropriately named O'Toole. We're not going to go there. Just imagine in your mind. We had a couple of acres at our home in Washington. We felt O'Toole would make a great pet for our children. Plus, we could give the Angora hair to the Old Ladies Aid Society for their quilting bee. The only problem was figuring out a way to get him home with us. So I took the back seat out of the Mercedes. I have a picture of this. We put in some straw bedding. We covered it with thick plastic film so it'd be easy to clean. The back seat itself was crammed into the trailer with the other treasures, and feeling a little like the Beverly Hillbillies, we started our road trip home in the prized Mercedes with the vanity license plate that read sheep and a farm animal in the back seat, pulling a beat-up U-Haul trailer. I have to admit, I was glad to have been a city slicker for most of my life. Here's a picture of the license plate, by the way.
Oh, man.
Sheep.
Yeah.
We knew a storm was coming. We kind of felt we could make it to Montana, and then we had to hunker down with the relatives for a day or so. It was just to wait out the storm. Well, it shouldn't be an issue. I mean, O'Toole was a good passenger. He slept a lot, and he ate when he was awake. Colette fed him formula out of baby bottles, raw produce, and cigarette butts. He really loved the cigarette butts, and we never had to empty the ashtray. I think you know this, right? Goats eat cigarettes. Oh, gosh.
They eat everything.
They love tobacco. Anyway, her maternal instincts kicked in a little with this cute little baby animal, and driving across North Dakota was really kind of a challenge. I would guess the crosswinds gusted close to 1,000,000 miles an hour, and every inch of travel was a workout to keep the car and the trailer on the road. I told Colette I was determined to outrun the storm and had to keep going. She, the know-it-all smart-alecky, impolite, informed me, the idiot behind the wheel, that I was driving into the storm, not running away from it. It was dark by the time we reached the Montana border. Snow was falling. Pigs and chickens blowing through the air. You know, it was one of those. Anyway, within a few miles, I pretty much had to install chains if I was going to go any farther, and the only traffic we saw were a few 18-wheelers with crusty truck drivers making fun of the idiot in the Mercedes pulling the U-Haul. Apparently, they didn't know I had a CB radio and I could hear them. This sounded like the workplace bullies back home. Slipping and sliding downhill into Billings, it was apparent that we were not going to make it to the relative's house across the state. I decided to find a motel, worry about the rest of the trip after I got some much-needed rest. It was too cold for the goat to stay in the car, and not many motels allow farm animals in their rooms, even in Montana. I lied to the motel clerk, and I told him we were traveling with our toy poodle. After all, he was just a baby, and what trouble could he be? When I wrote down the license plate number on the registration, I noticed the motel clerk raise one of his eyebrows. Wrapping the goat in a blanket, we smuggled him past the clerk, and with his white Angora hair, apparently he looked enough like a toy poodle that we got away with it, we decided to put him in the shower and close the door. That way any droppings would be easy to clean away in the morning. O'Toole had other ideas. He spent most of the day sleeping. Now he was not ready to be confined. He wanted to play, and we were too tired to entertain him, so we lowered his head. He lowered his head and repeatedly butted the glass door on the shower.
Geez.
Now, while it didn't break, it made enough sound to wake most of the other travelers in the motel. We knew that from the banging on the walls in the adjacent rooms. The bathroom floor had ceramic tile, and the next plan was for me to take some of the bedding and sleep in the bathroom with the goat so he wouldn't be alone and maybe he would be quiet. That worked well for about a minute, until the goat started making the same sort of sounds that I imagined a nervous sheep would make. I started visualizing the Yellowstone County Sheriff showing up at our motel room and arresting us for bestiality and other weird things. Oh, what fun I would have telling the story to the workplace bullies. But the sheriff did not show up, and the last resort was to take the goat back to the car and start it up every couple hours to keep him warm. In the car, I fed him 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes, and with his belly full, he finally calmed down. O'Toole and I stayed in the car, got some rest between bouts of hypothermia. Colette got a wonderful night's rest in the warm motel room. What a princess. The next morning revealed a beautiful Montana day. We considered our journey without too many more problems. We did pass a semi-truck and heard the driver announce to his CB buddies that he'd just been passed by a Mercedes with farm animals in the back seat and wondered what was in the trailer. There was quite a conversation following that in which I pretended to be another trucker. I had good time talking like a trucker and making fun of myself. It was great to get home. Our kids and dogs adopted the kid goat, and they lived happily like hillbillies in the big city. The goat taught the dogs how to graze on the lawn, and the dogs taught the goat how to chase squirrels. I went back to being a city boy and was glad to be done with it. I kept the vanity plate on the car as long as I could until the state of Washington made me replace it. Although O'Toole and the Mercedes are long gone now, I still display the sheep license plate with some of the rest of the farm treasures in the garage to this day. You know, just having the license plate that said sheep would be enough of a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, we should actually, we should arrange to get that license plate to Lance Lambert. It would be so perfect in his garage.
Oh, gosh. You know, I was just commenting on to my wife. I says, I got this friend, Lance. You know Lance.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. And I go, heaven forbid he passes away and his wife has to go through all that collected stuff.
Oh, man. Well, and even better, she'll find out what he actually paid for it
as
opposed to what he told her. You paid how much?
Yeah, no, we know you're listening, Lance. We know you're listening.
His
Busted. Ears are burning right now.
Busted.
Well, that's another great story out of the old Car Nut book.
Yeah, and Dave Dickinson is really nice to let us read those stories every so often on the show. And, of course, you know, there are 3 books in the old Car Nut book series, and you can get them on Amazon or you can get them from oldcarnutbook.com. It's worth it, and they do make a terrific gift. By the way, Lance Lambert on his Vintage Vehicle Show is rerunning a show that he did a few years ago covering the Infestation Rat Rod show at Triple X.
Cool.
And the new one is coming up, of course, on July 7th. So it's kind of nice if you can see that one.
We'll be filming out there this year, I think.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of rat rods and cool cars, car of the day from the Hemmings.
Oh, yeah.
I came across this highly modified 72 Plymouth station wagon.
Ooh.
outfitted with a 71 Roadrunner front clip.
Of course it
Check
is.
This out. 9-bolt rear end, high-performance V8, and more. Super slick-looking car, and it's in Oregon, and they only want $16,000 for this thing.
That's not bad. You could just about land a plane on that hood.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a nice looking
car. That is a cool looking car.
Yeah.
Somebody had a lot of fun. And then speaking of Chrysler products,
yes.
A 1970 Plymouth Hemi Cuda convertible was sold at Macomb Auctions last weekend for how much do you think?
A 70 Cuda, a convertible.
With a Hemi.
With a Hemi.
Of only 14 built of this style.
$66,000.
$1.8 million for this Torque Flight. Automatically transmissioned car with
so $66,000 would buy me the gear shift knob.
Yeah, it has that high impact lemon twist yellow. You know that bright yellow.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a good car.
Yeah, amazing.
You know they
$1.8 million. I think this has been up for auction before, and it keeps going up every time it goes out.
It could be. That's cool. Hey, the weekly trivia question is next. We got a plug for next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We will be back. And yes, that's a threat. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only.
Welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and the weekly trivia contest and all that other cool stuff. There is an actual upcoming event, by the way. I should plug it because it's going to be kind of cool. It's not too far away. July 21 is the 2019 edition of Legends Car Show in North Bend, Washington. Kind of Snoqualmie. It's a little bit east of Seattle.
It makes for a nice trek up there.
Yeah, It's open to all hot rods, all customs, classics, muscle cars, trucks, motorcycles. It's really cool. The North Bend one is on July 21st, and the Snoqualmie one is on August 18th. So it's actually two shows, Legends Car Show. And it's pretty cool. Registration is available, too.
You know what's coming up this weekend.
Let's see, LegendsPacificNorthwestCarClub.com, LegendsCarClub.org, and you can register. So,
you know what's coming up this weekend?
This weekend is Memorial Day.
What's the big Everett?
Cruising to Colby.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-day show. So the Friday is the drags and stuff and the fun stuff. Saturday is the drags and the fun stuff. Sunday is the controlled cruise and the sound rock off. Everybody fools with their sound system. And then Monday is the actual show where you can walk through the city.
Right.
It's that is a huge show, and
one
it's
of the
really
biggest.
Nice one. Yeah,
and
one
it typically
of the biggest.
Is always nice weather. I never even finish it because they got it down secondary streets.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. There's 700, 800 cars
yes.
there. And Rod Ventiques are the guys that put on that show. They do a wonderful job every year.
Have we ever had them on?
No. When I go up there this week, I'll yak with
them.
Yeah,
let's do
we'll
that.
We'll get them on here. Because I would like to have done it before the show, but still, it's good. It's a great show. And that is in Everett, which is a little town about 14 to 18 miles north of Seattle. It's worth it if you're out of the area. You will not be sorry if you come and enjoy.
No, definitely.
Live music and vendors and all kinds of stuff, too. So, the trivia question this week was, well, the one from last week was kind of a fun one. It was, what U.S. production car had the largest four-cylinder engine? Now, you wouldn't think that'd be all that difficult, except, interestingly enough, four-cylinder engines for a while were pretty big. And
there were some huge truck ones.
Yeah, there were. Well, so this one goes back a ways. So the car, hang on here. Where was the car? I just had it. Oh, wait. Sorry, I lost it. Just a second.
Well, you lost it a long time
ago. Nah, just a minute here. I moved. Oh, jeez.
Tick, tick, tick.
No, my problem is I moved the stuff. What did I do with it? Oh, this is really horrible. 4-4-2. See, you never move the stuff. Never move the stuff. I can't believe that I don't have this.
Man, we got...
Hold on.
Got a minute left there, Brady.
I'm not going to find it. I don't know.
Okay.
No. Wait, what have I done? Do you have it? Did I put it on the back of the...
I don't have it.
Oh, here it is. Wait, no, okay, I got it.
Quick.
Okay. The biggest four-cylinder production motor was the 1907 Thomas. It had a 571 cubic inch motor, 9.2
Whoa.
Liters, four cylinders. Giant coffee cans filled with cement were the pistons.
Jeez, 500.
Yeah, not surprisingly, we did not get a winner, but we'll get a winner on the next one. What car, this is perfect, for next week, what car was designed on an airsick bag and released on April Fool's Day? What American car was originally designed on an airsick bag on a Northwest Airlines flight and released on April Fool's Day? And I can even tell you what year, 1970.
Okay, so in other words, it was designed bag.
Somebody said, hey, I got an idea, and
right.
he drew it out on the bag.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was
not
like built on
designed to look like an airsick bag. No.
Yeah, or built on an airsick bag.
No, it was made out of airsick bags.
Actually, they were in the plane, and they got this
That's
brilliant
right.
idea.
Here's what we'll do.
And then it was released in 1970?
On April Fool's Day.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you know, give us a shout. It's contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can also go to the Facebook page and give us an answer there.
Airsick bag.
Yeah, this is one. You win a bar bet with this one.
Early.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we still have a few openings for new sponsors. Get in touch with us. We would love to have you as part of our show. That music means it's time to go. Thanks to Jeff Conwell and the guys at the Monsters and Manson. Congratulations to Phil Pexanley, who won his very first trophy with his rat rod at Manson this year. Thanks for liking and following our page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, it's the All Cars version of another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Bye.